Take two.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. They've gotten money before, and the Treasury could be giving it billions more. Reports are this morning a deal could happen as early as today to help troubled GMAC. At one time, GMAC was a huge financing arm of General Motors. Now the rescue is all about driving customers in. From North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
GMAC already received $5 billion from the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP, back in December. Now, the Detroit News and other papers are reporting that the government is set to loan GMAC more than $7 billion additional dollars. With the latest infusion, the federal government's stake in GMAC will get even bigger. A U.S.-controlled GMAC would have the power to offer better loan terms to GM and Chrysler car buyers. This could be a way of steering business to the troubled companies. Analysts say that could give them an edge over their competitors, like Ford, that hasn't taken any bailout money. Last week, GMAC changed the name of its banking unit to Ally Bank to distance itself from the bailout. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
The Financial Times today reports Bank of America wants to repay its share of bailout money by the end of the year. The price tag, $45 billion. The amount it took from the federal government. The bank's already raised nearly half of that in the past month in a sale of shares and of its China Construction Bank. Asian markets closed lower today on word from the U.S. Fed that the recession could linger longer. European shares are lower right now, too. S&P shares fell 0.5% yesterday. The Dow was off by about that much as well in trading yesterday. It's two straight quarterly losses in a row for Lenovo Group, the world's fourth biggest computer maker, said today, more pain is ahead. This morning, drug maker Eli Lilly said it had advanced a second experimental treatment for Alzheimer's disease into late-stage clinical trials. There's a Senate hearing today focusing on substandard drywall imported from China. Homeowners in the southeast say it corrodes wires and pipes inside walls, and it makes people sick. Some senators want to impose a trade ban on all drywall from China, but the problem is a little more complicated than that. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
The suspicious drywall has turned up in 13 states. Homeowners there complain of asthma, headaches, and persistent cough. Yesterday, EPA investigators reported high levels of strontium inside the drywall. That's a metal used to make TV screens. And they found sulfur. But so far, health regulators haven't found the levels to be hazardous. In Beijing, officials are also cooperating, but many trade and export veterans in China think it's premature for a blanket ban. The manufacturer is a German conglomerate that owns factories in China. Chris Doctor exports building materials from China to the U.S.
In a lot of cases, it's not intent to defraud anyone as much as it is they have a shipping date that they have to ship, and the only supplier they have, you know, is in the case of the drywall, pull their gypsum out of a mine that also has some sulfur content.
The mineral gypsum is the main ingredient in drywall. Much of the material used to build American homes is actually sourced locally. Chinese imports only surged temporarily during the building boom after Katrina. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
A study out today says a vast majority of college students, 85%, are stressed. And 4 in 10 say they've been sad or down at least a couple of times in the last 2 weeks. The Associated Press MTV U poll showed students felt pressure in their daily lives, worries about schoolwork, relationships, and yes, money.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, offering breaking news, exclusive stories, and insights that impact today's financial markets. More at newsfirst.reuters.com. American Public Media and Marketplace present Hard Times in Middletown, supported by the University of Virginia's Batten Institute. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
The House Energy and Commerce Committee is poised to approve the first ever climate bill to make it to the floor of Congress. Of course, that achievement hasn't come without its share of heated political debate. But some of the fiercest battles aren't between politicians or between businesses and the trade groups that lobby for them. From the Sustainability Desk, here's Marketplace's Sam Eaton.
A TV ad running this week features Duke Energy CEO Jim Rogers endorsing a mandatory limit on greenhouse gases.
Why would they head of one of America's largest coal-burning utilities support a cap on carbon emissions. Because America has to start making smart choices.
Roger's message is the opposite of what the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is saying. The world's largest business group claims capping emissions would cause energy shortages and higher prices. What's noteworthy here is that Rogers holds a seat on the Chamber of Commerce's board, as do many other prominent supporters of climate change legislation. That's led Peter Altman with the Natural Resources Defense Council to pose this question.
Who is the chamber really representing here?
Altman researched the Chamber of Commerce board members' positions on climate change legislation. And out of the group of businesses that have publicly stated their positions, 19 favored federal action and only 4 opposed it. And 3 of those 4 are coal mining companies.
The staff seem to be freelancing on the agenda of just a few of their members and not adequately representing where the majority of the members of their board that have got a position on climate change really find themselves.
In recent weeks, companies like Nike and Johnson & Johnson have publicly criticized the chamber for not reflecting their views. But the chamber's head of government affairs, Bruce Jostin, says member disagreements are nothing new.
Do I have a diversity of viewpoints in the membership of the United States Chamber of Commerce? Yes. Let me be perfectly clear. On every issue that comes before the Congress of the United States.
But the issue of climate change is different. James Thurber heads American University's Center for Congressional and Presidential Studies.
This is major in terms of its impact upon the economy and upon the way you extract and use energy. And so, therefore, it is major in terms of the stress upon certain interests.
Thurber says forming business coalitions is the easy part. The challenge is maintaining them, especially when limits on greenhouse gas emissions threaten to hurt some industries and some regions a lot more than others. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Hope you can check out our website, where our online host and blogger Scott Jagow is waiting for your comments at marketplace.org. Check out the scratch pad there, too, in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.